In the last year, there's been a lot of shifting of blame. In Latin, it's known as tu quoque, meaning you also. But it's become more commonly known as whataboutism, and we've been hearing it used more often in press conferences and Sunday morning talk shows.
What about the alt-left that came charging at the, as you say, the alt-right?
But what about the Democrats' possible ties to Moscow?
But what about Hillary Clinton?
But what about Benghazi? What about the blatant lies that the Obama administration told us? What about the fact that Ben Rhodes bragged about lying to the media and the public about the Iran deal?
It also figured prominently in Leslie Stahl's most recent interview on 60 Minutes with Margarita Simonyan, head of the Russian television network RT.
Let's talk about Russian interference in our election, mm-hmm. which our intelligence agencies tell us happened.
And you believe them, just like you believe they were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Didn't you believe that?
Whataboutism is a Russian propaganda technique and was used frequently during the Cold War. Whenever criticism was leveled at the Soviet Union, they countered with a similar critique of the West. It's a favorite diversionary tactic of Russian President Vladimir Putin. This style of argumentation has also become popular with President Donald Trump, his supporters, and surrogates. And according to Wall Street Journal language columnist Ben Zimmer,
I think that there's cause for concern when we see whataboutism being deployed so frequently these days, because it is a way of deflecting away from genuine criticisms about political leaders, not just Donald Trump.
Aaron Call is the director of debate at the University of Michigan. We asked him if whataboutism is an effective debating technique.
It can be. You always want to win if you're debating, and same thing with politics. You want to win elections, and so if by deflecting and diverting the question to something else, and that is what receives the attention and throws your opponent off that, then yes, it can be successful, and people wouldn't deploy this argument if it doesn't work.
As a debate director, Call says whataboutisms do have their place in a conversation.
They're fine to be used, but I just wouldn't solely rely on them. I think it should be part of your performance in debate, but not if you're just making whataboutisms, that's going to be a losing strategy, but it certainly can be part of an arsenal when debating an important issue.
But Wall Street Journal language columnist Ben Zimmer says the style of muddying the waters is especially hard for journalists trying to report on things people in power don't want to talk about.
I think it's something that we have to be on guard about, and journalists, by recognizing this whataboutism ploy, can hold people in power accountable for their actions rather than letting them wriggle away by using this kind of rhetorical tactic.
Since 2018 is an election year and global leaders deal with the actions and rhetoric around military conflicts, hate groups, and humanitarian crises, the technique is unlikely to go away and will require critical analysis by consumers.